Hey, yo, say hello to the band, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Cesaro.
The world is listening.
Gee, I hope nobody is taping this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the SNS Radio Network is proud to bring to you the Open Book.
Did you see that? Did you see that coming?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Where your source for all video game entertainment and wrestling news.
I know how to push your buttons too. I see everything you're going to do from a mile away.
With your host, the voices of the voiceless, sensational sequel, Sean.
Damn, that's a cold-ass honky.
And the British one, Ashley.
What's the matter, Danny? You never taken a shortcut before?
So sit down.
What?
Shut up.
What?
And listen, because story time is about to begin.
Tell me he didn't just say that.
My name is Skrillex, man. Welcome to the Devil's Den. I'm a scary monster, stomping this Sprite in frilly pants. You're a weirdo, Wolfie. You're into powdered wigs and poo. And your cousin blew notes on your little magic flute. Daddy issues make the Jackson 5 look like the family circus. You might have been a genius, but you died broke and worthless. I'm rich, acclaimed, and famous. I'm a playlist, I'm the A-list. You're the lamest, kiss my ass. I'm a dance.
Was that a verse, or did you just get the hiccups? I'm a prodigy, Sally, and I'm about to smack a bitch up. My music is 200 years old, and it's still excellent. In 2 more months, the world will forget about your Skrill excrement. I can't believe the way you dress when you dubstep out of the house. You're like an emo Steve Urkel, and you reek of damn mouth. I am the world's greatest composer, no one knows what you are. Except a lonely little troll who knows how to press a space bar.
I attack, you decay, can't sustain my releases. Sidechain, wolf gay, bangarang you to pieces. I'm a self-made man, you're a slave to your papa. I'm a rock star, mix it with the bass and
drop ya.
Global,
my strobes glow like Chernobyl.
Kids explode and get mobile,
no one even knows you.
I make the whole world move,
you play community theater.
I gain your same fame from home
on a blown out speaker.
Oh yes, I've heard that EP, and see I transcribed it,
yeah.
Tell me, what comes after the 68th measure of diarrhea?
And what kind of drugs does it take to enjoy this?
I've no idea.
I've seen more complexity in a couch from IKEA.
You go piano to forte easyissimo.
That means soft to very, very loud.
Cause I'm guessing that you didn't know.
Why don't you put down your cue bass and pick up a real ball?
I rocked harder than you when I was 5 years old.
Whole war! Who's there? Yoda-san! Alpha! Across the world!
What is up, guys and girls, and whoever else is listening? This, of course, is the Open Book with myself, one of the voices of the voiceless here on the SNS Radio Network. We are back. Well, at this moment, I am back. Of course, I am sensational sequel, sensational spoiler, sensational Sean. And as always, I am joined with my co-host, who I'm giving a new nickname to, the British one. He is, of course, Ashley. What is up, dude? It's been about 3 weeks since we have last spoken, pretty much. What is up?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, not much has happened in any sort of life in the past 3 or 4 weeks. Oh, wait.
Well, the good thing is we didn't have the Microsoft announcement to deal with.
No, so. But instead it's going to be on my fucking birthday. It's not exactly my birthday, but the open book where we'll probably cover it is going to be practically the birthday weekend. Oh, I can't get drunk.
No, you can't. You got to wait on that one. Of course, this is the open book. We got a lot to do tonight. We, however, are going to take the moments in the beginning of the show. We have been away for a couple weeks. There's a lot that's happened in the last couple weeks. There's a lot that's affected me. There's probably some things that affect Ashley. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to do our moment of silence because we have been away for a couple of while. We're going to do a moment of silence for Boston, of course. A moment of silence for Texas. A moment of silence for Chris Kelly, I believe his name was, from Crisscross?
Yeah, Crisscross.
Who else were we also given a moment of silence to?
My personal one is Storm Forgerson, who designed the album covers for quite iconic Pink Floyd ones like Animals and Dark Side of the Moon, and also the last couple of Muse albums, actually.
There was one more, the Slayer guitarist Jeff Hanneman. We're also going to give him a moment of silence also. George Jones, as Shifty puts in chat, definitely. So we're going to take a moment of silence just for those because we have missed a lot. So 1 second. And we're back. Yeah, I know a lot of people are probably questioning why we're doing all of these. The Boston one affected me a lot because of my job. I do work on a military installation. A lot of things changed that day with us at work. West Texas, I've got a lot of friends in Texas. Everything's just been kind of weird. So we wanted to do that. And by the way, what'd you guys think of the intro? I liked it, but that's me. I don't know. I liked what Brass Eye did do. Unfortunately, he doesn't like it, so we're going to have a talk about it. I know he doesn't want me talking about this, but oh well.
Needs more cowbell.
There you go. Needs more cowbell. So, there's a lot that's gone down, and there's a lot that's gone down in the wrestling world. Not only with, I hate my computer. Not only with WWE, but TNA, Ring of Honor, CZW. There's a lot that's gone down, and I want to take a quick second to talk about all that, because I haven't watched TNA. There's been a huge explosion on the SNS Radio Network Facebook page. Yeah, pretty much. On the whole TNA subject, some people are a little butthurt. The people were basically saying, fuck TNA. Stuff like that. So, I don't watch TNA. I know that you do, Ashley. Or you try to.
Yeah, I pretty much catch it every week, at least.
So, I know tonight was the Joker's Wild one-night-only pay-per-view. Am I wrong?
I think people might have watched it. I don't know.
I don't think I did.
I didn't because I was rapidly trying to just look for somewhere where I could see SmackDown because, come on. All hail Dean Ambrose. TCG isn't in the chat, but she'll be marking out right now. I think she's found somebody else. Because, well, for anybody that's indie, he basically is the new CM Punk. He's awesome and he's from the indies.
That's completely true. I'm a fan of the whole Shield. Not only for Dean Ambrose, but Seth Rollins. I mean, coming from... He was on the MTV wrestling program they did. And he was also in something else that I was watching at for a while. And he had this weird character, I guess we'll say. And it's just I'm loving what they're doing with the Shield. They're doing a great job with them. So I'm very happy to see what they're going to do with him for later on. I'm looking forward, in all honesty, I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with Fandango. Because they're trying to give him a chance to be heel. The fans won't let him. But he's good. He is very good in the ring.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I kind of feel that the wave of momentum really went crazy for him that first week when you had basically the, as Botchamania called it, which came up today, mostly European, some Australian crowd, you know, that were part of a tour package. They did go crazy for Fandango, probably because they were completely bored because it was a 3-hour Raw. But then they kind of used it and went, oh my God, look how big he's become. And ever since then, the internet's not really given a crap.
Oh, by the way, TCG just walked into the chat just to give you a heads up.
If she's been listening, it's like, if she's been listening, she'll know that she got a shout out, and then I mentioned Dean Ambrose.
I have no fear.
She doesn't. She does now.
Yes, Ashley did make a few comments about Dean Ambrose in the past few minutes. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I know that they were pushing this whole Jericho Fandango feud. I haven't seen Jericho. Has he been there? I mean, I haven't seen him.
He's not been around since the UK tour.
Okay. So maybe they're giving him a week or two off or something. I'm not sure.
I think they're giving him the rest of the, they gave him the rest of the month off after dancing with Summer Rae, way better than Fandango ever did.
I'm hoping for some big match from them. I do know that I'm looking very forward to the triple threat ladder match that is going to be happening with Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger, and Dolph Ziggler. That match alone is going to be really good. I do know we are going to see we are most likely going to see the cross arm bar on the ladder, and we're going to see the ankle lock on the ladder. Now, I'm looking forward to how they're going to do it exactly on the ladder. So, I guess we could also see a cross armbar breaker through the ladder, as Alberto Del Rio would probably put Jack Swagger's arm through the ladder and then put the armbar on it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to that match. That's going to be a good match. And as we're talking about all this, if you guys didn't know, we just entered a new season on 4down.org. I posted it in the Facebook page. I really want to be number one this year, this season. I really want to make them know that we are there. We are probably the biggest threat to some of them, but last season we fell out. We fell pretty hard. So I'm hoping to see something from us this year, this season, excuse me. I keep saying this year.
You can blame me for that. My stupid sleep patterns at WrestleMania. Oh, I'll do it a few hours before like I always do. WrestleMania started. Bollocks!
Yeah, there was a lot of people that it seems like they didn't. And I'm getting a little tired, but I can't do anything about it. Because the only good thing is it doesn't count against us. So if it counted against us, I'd be like, okay, we got to deal with something now.
Slap to the face.
But it doesn't hurt us. So that's the only good thing about this. So I'm going to probably start doing a little bit more of a pushing it. I know some people are not going to be happy with that, but
push it real good.
Really?
Sorry.
L-Train, if you're this listening, there's your liner.
This is what happens when you leave me off live radio for 3 or 4 weeks. I kind of go crazy on the inside. That's probably why for the past 3 or 4 weeks, whole indie show has been completely...
Hey, that's your show, not mine, so I can't really... I will say this. I am working on something for your show. Okay?
Okay.
And it has to do with a organization that used to do stuff in Philly, but now are kind of having to go outside of Philly a little bit.
Okay.
So, I'll leave it at that. If he agrees, you may have an interview with... Possibly, if I can get back up in contact with him, I'm working on an interview with DJ Hyde.
Oh, nice.
And if that works, I'm going to try to work my way down the line a little bit and try to work with some of the other guys and try to get their interviews.
For a minute, I thought you were going to say Dr. Cube, and I was going to go, yes!
I have no clue who that is. I'm sorry.
The people that listen to Whole Indie will know who he is, and yeah, that's some craziness.
Okay. Whatever. I'm completely flabbergasted by that. But I am. I'm trying to get back in contact with him. I talked to him a little while ago. And then that was the last time I heard from him, so I'm going to try to get in contact with him again, see if I can get him to agree. I know he did a few interviews. 17 minutes in. Great. I'm going to work on getting an interview with him possibly in the next month, 2 months. And then my next one after that is possibly going to be Matt the Bulldozer Tremont. Because I want to talk to him.
Too far ahead, because then it will go wrong.
It will. It probably will. But I know I have some stuff set up for us too on the open book, which I am hoping is going to go in my favor. But I digress very much. So
he's speaking in code, people. The Red Fox flies at midnight.
That sounds familiar. I don't remember where that's from, but okay. I'm looking something up. I apologize. I'm not looking that
padding. Padding, people.
I'm actually looking up the one night only pay per view that was supposed to be tonight.
By Jennifer Hudson.
Really? You gotta. There's one tonight. I can't remember what it is, and I apologize to everyone. I love the fact that there it is, TNA One Night Only. TNA One Night Only. Joker's Wild. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. I know it's already happened. It's basically done. I do want to bring this up.
I thought it was in the future. Damn it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just stop.
I told you. I'm going nutty.
The matches that are on this card are go like this. James Storm and Christian York versus Crimson and Gunner. Mr. Anderson and Jesse Godders versus Douglas Williams and Kid Cash. Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels versus Rob Van Dam and Chavo Guerrero. Bobby Roode and Joseph Park facing off against Robbie E and Zema Ion. Aces and Eights, Devon and Doc facing off against Hernandez and Alex Silva. And Matt Morgan and Rob Terry facing off against Al Snow and Joey Ryan. And then there's a battle royale, a gauntlet battle royale with James Storm, with the entire listing pretty much. I'm not really wanting to see it. Because there's one a little later on. The Hardcore Justice 2. I want to see that one. And I want to see the 10 reunion. Which is actually going to be the six-sided ropes come back, or the six-sided ring comes back. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then TNA Tag Team Tournament I'm looking forward to, because it has a lot of, it looks really good, and how they're doing it.
The stupid thing about all of them is you're going to have to wait until, pretty much the like August. I think those three pretty much.
Next one is Knockout Knockdown, and that's in July. July 5th, apparently. Which is kind of stupid. The TNA Tag Tournament is in September 6th. And unfortunately, Hardcore Justice 2 is December 6th. And the 10 reunion is going to be August 2nd. So not looking forward to that. I'm sure that they're going to leak. It's going to be somewhere. Because I know the Joker's Wild was up last week somewhere on a website.
You can look back at the spoilers that were recorded in February or March now.
I know, but you can't
think actually about that, people. When you get to the pay-per-view in December, it will have happened 8 months before.
Yeah, but if the rumors
I really hope there's storyline continuity in that. Otherwise, it's going to make no sense whatsoever.
Well, there's no storylines. There's no storylines attached to any of these.
No, but if Aces and Eights break up by October, November and December isn't going to make any sense. That's all.
Well, I would. TNA being TNA. Okay, I'm going to put it like this. TNA being TNA, I really hope that they've got the storylines written that far ahead. Because they will. Apparently, they've already filmed Hardcore Justice 2. Are you serious?
Yeah, all the other episodes that are due to be shown, like, by next February, were recorded in March. Pretty much the week after lockdown.
Let's see what the matches were. And apparently the first picture up... Oh, okay, that's why. About to say, the first picture I see is ODB, and it's her grabbing her tits. Which is kind of funny.
Bam!
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it looks really good. Yeah, you know what? That's one of those things. If Aces and Ace does break up, that's going to be one of those things for that one. I hope they stay together at least long enough. I am looking forward to Brother Runt, though, getting back in the ring. So I'm wondering how they'll...
You should have seen the free show that they had a few weeks back.
Brother Runt?
Yeah, 2CW. Had a free per view, which I think might still be up online. So you'd know this if you listened to the whole indie show. But yeah, he had a one-on-one match with Masada.
And how does he look? I mean, I've seen pictures of him recently, but I'm not sure.
He still looks good.
Okay, because I heard that he wasn't in the best of shape anymore.
Well, he didn't look. The problem is he doesn't look like a normal wrestler. So I don't know what out of shape for him is.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
But he looked in pretty good shape, certainly, and had a pretty good match with a crazy-ass spot and a certain somebody who seems to not be in Ring of Honor anymore getting involved.
Go ahead and bring it up. Just say it.
Kevin Steen just decided to screw Spike Dudley.
Sucks. Oh, well.
Storyline! Storyline!
Yeah. That's kind of interesting. I'm looking at Wikipedia, and I just decided to type in professional wrestling matches. There's a lot of matches I've never heard of. There's a lot of matches I've never seen before. I will say it's very, very interesting. I should probably get off Wikipedia right now and stop looking. So what can you tell us? What else? This past Raw. Let's talk about that one. Because I have not seen the last 30 minutes of it. Because I fell asleep.
Neither have I. Because I had a power cut. Well, I'm not really a power cut. It was actually my internet decided to, or the internet for the area decided to die. So I saw the first hour. The rest of it, I haven't seen.
I guess it's a good thing I have it on hold. Okay.
The perils of the internet, people.
Cena loses the match for Kane, him, and
yeah, Roman Reigns beats him. To me, the weakest of the three.
Really?
I just don't like Roman Reigns. His promo skills are nowhere near it. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are ready, wrestling-wise and promo-wise. I still think Roman Reigns needs a bit of work on the promo front.
Well, I mean, hold on. Let's stop for a second. That's pretty much almost half the guys in the business. But he's a big man who can actually wrestle. He's a big man who is a great brawler on that moment. I mean, he can go out there and deal the punishment. He can take the punishment. But he's also one of the strongest people out there right now to date. I mean, he's got a great heritage. I mean, let's look at his line for a second. I mean, he is, as far as I remember, he's the cousin of The Rock, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's my other thing. You can't have too many, you know. It will eventually get to a point like 200 years down the line, let's say if WWE is still existing, when every single wrestler will be 57th generation or something. It's going to be like Pokemon. It's like, wait, XXX wrestlers evolving.
I don't see the same way. I don't think we'll still have the same rich heritage we do now, later on. But I don't know. I think that after a couple more years, we'll probably see the heritage lines falter a little bit. And it sucks.
Just because Kevin Steen's 6-month-old son won a match in PWG like 4 or 5 years ago doesn't mean I want to see him wrestle in 20 years' time.
No. And I mean, it comes to the point where you've got to look at... You've got to get to the point where the heritage lines are gonna break. You're going to lose all of the heritage that you have. But then at some point, you want that heritage back, because then those children, those grandchildren, those great-grandchildren will have been trained by their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers, their uncles, their cousins, their niece, their aunts,
their brothers from another mother.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter who, what family member they're part of. They're going to be trained by some greats. I mean, let's just look at the Hart family. The Hart family alone, with Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Stu Hart, Bruce Hart, I know nobody wants to bring them up, but Chris Benoit, Lance Storm, all of these people were in the dungeon. They were trained by Stu Hart, one of the greatest. He was one of the greatest trainers, along with Killer Kowalski. They were all trained by one of the greatest. They went beyond to be some of the greatest. Well, except for Bruce, but we all know that. They all went on to be one of the greatest wrestlers of their time. Some taken away from us before we had a chance to see them hold world titles, as in Owen Hart, God rest his soul. But then you're going to come to the point where you've got people like, I don't know, let's see, Ryback, John Cena. These people are not from legacy families. They came out of the green. And
I don't know, John Cena Sr. might take you up on that.
Yeah, well,
that's his. Yeah. That's his.
I really think that we're gonna, at somewhere in the near future, we're gonna have a faltering in the legacies, and then probably 10 to 15 years down the road, we'll have another big legacy period where we'll see all of the big ones come in. And I look forward to that, because then we'll train. We'll see these trained members come out and basically go on to be some of the best champions out there. I just hope I'm there to see it. I mean, I don't know where we'll all be down the road now. I mean, I'm not a psychic. So at some point, I hope we'll see another great legacy group come in and just completely run roughshod over that company. So,
being distracted by Amazon.
Really?
Sorry, but when you have the Naked Brothers Band game right next to We Dare, it's just double meaning there, which made you go,
I really have a feeling we're going to have a conversation during pre-show meetings from now on.
Sorry.
Because in the pre-show meeting, you were distracted by the Partridge Family website.
No.
Playing guitar,
it's Alan
or whatever.
Partridge. No, it's because it's Daft Punk. It's the best song this year.
Yeah, but pre-show meeting, seriously?
I got distracted at the end because you said anything else to say.
No, you were distracted before then, but oh well. Something else I want to talk about before we... I just want to get away from Ashley for a second. Something else I want to talk about for a second is the ECW biography that just came out. Have you had a chance to see it, Ashley?
I thought you went at me away, so I ran away. No.
It's called Barbed Wire City, the Unauthorized Story of ECW. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a lot of the footage from WWE, WWF, and all that. But what it does have, and I just opened the wrong player. That's not good. It does take the fan cam footage from, I can't remember who the company was, and I apologize for that. But it starts at the very beginning. It actually goes with the Extreme Reunion. They sit down with Shane Douglas. They talk about the Extreme Reunion shows. They talk to Straw Hat Guy. They talk to a lot of the guys who were actually in the front row for almost every single ECW show. And it's really cool. I'm only like halfway, maybe a quarter of the way through the first part of it. So far, it is really good. I caught myself getting really sucked into the entire interviews, the footage they're showing, all of that. It was really good. They actually talked a lot about Todd Sinclair. They talked a lot about I'm sorry, I just forgot the name completely. Todd Gordy, I believe. I can't remember the name.
Todd Gordon.
Talked a lot about him. They talked a lot about stuff that you really didn't see a lot. You didn't see it. It was a lot of the back room type dealings. The stuff where they just sat down and like, yeah, this guy's going to do this, this guy's going to do that. And apparently, Paul Heyman didn't tell the wrestlers anything until right before they walked out. And I don't know about you guys. Actually, I want to ask you, would you follow somebody like that? If you knew you had a match coming up and you didn't know anything about your match, you know, who was winning, you didn't know what spot was going to be for the ending, would you have gone into that?
Personally, no, but I can see positives and negatives to that, because then you can just let it go how you feel, and then the word can come from the back, and obviously then you could be pissed that you've put in all this effort and it basically... You think you deserve a victory, but actually you don't. But...
Well, no, he told them... I'm sorry to cut you off. He told them right before they walked out to do their match. He said, by the way, you're going to lose. You're going to lose to him, and basically it's going to end like this. He told them right before their match actually happened. So, it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, what? But they called him, they call Paul Heyman one of the biggest wordsmiths, pretty much. That he could make somebody who, they could make somebody who was surrounded by a lake, by water. He has all the water in the world, but yet Paul Heyman can.
Yeah.
Surrounded by a lake.
Wow. But I don't want to have that. Wow. Sean's kind of died. I don't know. I guess I'm feeling dead air. I don't know. Help me, guys. Help me, guys, in the chat. Did everything go dead, or is it just me? I need to...
Jesus Christ. I step away for 3 minutes to get some pasta, and he fades off the air.
What happened?
You dropped.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Okay,
I'm got lost in the polarity of a neutron flow, Sean. Come on.
I'm going back to lunch. Bye.
Okay, no problem.
That came out of nowhere. Now it's like open book. I think Skype misbehaves.
That came out of nowhere. I was like, what? I'm so sorry about that, guys. But yeah, they call Paul Heyman one of the best wordsmiths out there. So pretty much, the pay-per-view is really good. The DVD is really good. If you get a chance, you like ECW, pick it up, watch it. It is completely worth checking out. At the most, buy a digital copy, or you know, go find it off a website. I'm not condoning that, but check it out. It's worth the check out.
Basically, he's. I don't know. I'm not gonna go in there.
I'm trying not to say go download it from some torrent site. But it's worth it. So, anything you want to talk about before we cut out this segment?
Well, we cut out this segment entirely. It's banished to the archives forever and never talked about again. I don't know. No, nothing generally else in wrestling.
Okay, then. We're going to cut the break. We'll be back in a minute. And enjoy the song you're about to hear. We'll be back in a minute. Yeah.
Fingers in the air.
Shush. Be back in a minute.
American in the house, baby. Zeb, roll another blunt. Ah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. WWE in the house, baby. Oh. Oh. Yeah. I was gonna get a push, but then I got high. I was gonna headline WrestleMania, but then I got high. Now I've got one strike against me, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high. I was gonna fight Del Rio, but then I got high. I was gonna start a real good feud, but then I got high. Now I'm jobbing to Santino, and I know why. Hey, hey, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high. Zeb and I were talking shit until I got high. We were gonna blame the Mexicans, but then I got high. Now Vince McMahon is pissed off, and I know why. Hey, hey, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La, da, 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 da. I was gonna cure my lisp until I got high. I was gonna speak like everyone else until I got high. Now I still sound like a douchebag, and I know why. Yeah, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La, da, 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 da. I renamed my ankle lock until I got high. I was gonna be bigger than rock, but then I got high. Now I'm losing to Zack Ryder, and I know why. Because I got high. Because I got high, because I got high. La, da, da, da. I had a great future until I got high. I was gonna be the world champion, but then I got high. Now I'm calling Dixie Carter, and I know why. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La, da, 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 da. I'm heading to TNA, man.
Oh, yeah.
Where I can smoke all the pot I want. The All-American American is out.
Oh, wow, man. Yo, turn it off. Let me do it over. Yo, go.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. And each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mind Wipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
And now back to the open book on the SNS Radio Network.
And welcome back, guys. Sorry, I was dealing with something else. Of course, that was Dead Island Riptide's theme, which is really good. Really good song, of course, as always, from the Dead Island games. We are back. This is segment two, which, of course, is video games. So we're going to talk a little bit of video game stuff. I got a couple reviews I want to talk about, too. But before that, let's definitely do some news. So I'm going to throw it off to Ashley, who's going to, of course, start us off. Go for it.
So we'll start off with pretty much this is all the stories from the past. Well, not all the stories from the past month, but the big ones. Starting off with Nintendo's Direct, Nintendo 3DS, which wasn't really 3DS Direct. Started off with, well, some of the big things. They had new stuff with Mario and Luigi Dream Team. Mario Golf and Mario Party 3DS, which I believe they're all 3DS games. Then New Super Luigi U looked pretty damn good. They had some more on Donkey Kong 3DS about how it's going to have basically an easy mode and a new world if you complete the game successfully. They then kind of moved on to Wii U and talked about the panorama view, which you can look around stuff of. It's a free demo, and if you want to download the actual panoramas, they're like $2 each. I actually saw that about 6 months ago as part of the trial thing to showcase what the Wii U can do at Eurogamer. And it actually was a pretty nice feature, just kind of a camera filming everything from like 360 degrees, if that's possible. I don't know what you call that. Because it's on both axes. Is it 360 cube or something? I don't know. But one of the big ones they announced is, due to popular demand from the European and the pretty much all the Western world, Earthbound will be coming at some point this year. And so much so that the sequel to Earthbound, the fans have basically said, we'll translate it for free just so that it gets over here as well.
Which I hope they do, because I know that a couple years ago I happened to be searching, because I knew that it had been released in Japan, and I had been told that there was a group who actually had done the translation. Uh-huh. So I went out there and started looking for it. I found it. It was a great translation copy, but apparently it's not the one that they're offering now. Who apparently there's another group that has retranslated it. And is in better English. The one I had was very weird. It was still good English, but it wasn't what it should. What I thought, what if Nintendo had bought it, they wouldn't have actually released it like that. So I'm hoping that we get the next Earthbound. We get Mother 3. I want Mother 3.
Then they also had some stuff regarding Animal Crossing coming out June 9th, and it's going to be a 3DS bundle with a special edition 3DS with like Animal Crossing characters on it. And they talked about, this was the confusing thing, they talked about Bravely Default and Professor Layton's games coming to the 3DS in 2014. Apparently Europe's getting them in 2013. Why the delay, I'm not sure. Perhaps it's because we are still waiting for Scribblenauts Unlimited for the Wii U. And possibly 3DS, I can't remember. It's a bit crazy. But then the big thing that they saved right to the end was Zelda Link to the Past 2. Or, well, all they really said was it's going to be a sequel to Link to the Past. Well, no, it's not a sequel, but it's not a prequel or anything, but it's in the same universe. So, but the name it's going by pretty much is Link to the Past 2. Today, more info actually came out of it. There is going to be a dark world and a light world, as there was in the original. The nice little feature is, though, in certain points where you think you're stuck, you'll be able to become like 2D Zelda. So, I guess, like Paper Mario, and you'll be able to go across walls, across chasms, to areas you probably couldn't reach in 3D mode in order to progress further in the game. Which is a nice little move, as certainly. No confirmation really was given on anything to do with that, but they said more would be announced at a later date.
Hold on. I have something to say right quick. Somebody needs to get Mac Daddy a Super Nintendo and a Link to the Past right now. I am not kidding.
Or he could get the emulator on the PC.
I'm trying to stay legal, okay? I'm trying to stay legal here. Because Mac Daddy needs to sit down and play some flippin' Zelda. One of the greatest games of all time was Link to the Past. Yes, Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time were great, but A Link to the Past is still the backbone of how I feel Zelda games should. So somebody get that boy, or that man, excuse me, a Super Nintendo and a Link to the Past. Right now. Bronx, get down there.
You don't even have to download an emulator. I know there's a few websites that actually run it off Flash straight off the website as well, if you can't get it.
Then give him that link, because he needs it. I'm actually going to be looking at it right now.
Yeah, because if you have got a 3DS, this one looks to be same style, well, kind of same style graphics. Obviously, it isn't because it can't be entirely 16-bit, but it looks very faithful to the original ones. But
and I found it.
Speaking of that, we were thinking, oh, right, so all this stuff that they kind of teased here about what's going to be coming, we'll probably see this at E3. Well, the press will, but we won't, because Nintendo revealed that they're not going to be doing a press conference at E3 this year. Which makes sense, because I don't think they'll be able to cope with PlayStation, or Sony and Microsoft, should I say, and their console reveals. But then it also is a case of, okay, you're on the biggest stage of them all, you're basically putting it as a side note when you're trying to one-up the other consoles and say you're better than them. It's like you're already admitting defeat. This kind of roughly in the same week where UK retailers are now starting to sell the basic Wii U for £150 when it launched at £300 less than, I don't know, 6 months ago? And it's already halved in price. Not even the Wii did that for about 4 years. And this has done it in 6 months.
Well, I do want to jump in here for a second. One of the major reasons is they're fearing. A lot of companies are fearing right now, a lot of retailers, excuse me, are fearing what's going to happen in November, October. What's going to happen later on this year when the two new consoles drop? What's going to happen to the Wii U? Everybody's going to forget about it. Because everybody's going to be wanting the next box. Everybody's going to be wanting the PS4. Everybody's going to be wanting the games on those because they're not getting the same games on the Wii U. So people are trying to drop the price, get people to buy the console now instead of waiting and seeing how the console fight, pretty much, for the Wii U, it seems, how it fares out later on in the year.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is Nintendo haven't authorized any of these price drops that I'm aware of.
But the retailers can do
their
own.
If the retailers just want to get rid of the stock.
Yes, they will do that. So.
But regards E3 as well, already confirmed the Monday, June the 10th, you're going to have EA's press conference and Ubisoft's, and announced today Sony's, which therefore leaves Tuesday wide open because Nintendo aren't there. Which I think if you want Xbox to stand out, put it on its own day. Kind of like how Nintendo did.
Well, before we go any further with that, Microsoft's getting their own day. The day before.
True.
So they're going to do what they usually do. They're going to come out and say, hey, yeah, we got all of this stuff. And oh yeah, tune in tomorrow or the day after and see all of our biggest announcements. Because we got something we're going to show you that you're not going to expect.
Well, no, because I think just to get the jump on everybody, all their big announcements, or some of their big announcements anyway, should I say, are going to be on their own thing, which they're doing May 21st.
Oh, they're going to have huge stuff. Well, let me put it like this.
They've already said Call of Duty's going to be there.
Hold on. Let me put it like this. I had a conversation with somebody today. Everyone saw my post earlier this month about my source. I have a few sources, and I will claim I have a few sources. I have one in Xbox, I have one in Microsoft, one in Seattle, and I have one in Sony. Both of them are the son of a coworker of mine. He has already guaranteed me that later on this year, when Call of Duty comes out, we will have a new engine on the next box, but we will have the same old engine on the original Xbox 360. The new engine is one of the most realistic-looking engines out there right now. It's basically everything that you saw at the PS4 announcement, but better. The Battlefield stuff is child's play, he said. Expect gameplay footage at May 21st. Also expect the possibility of gameplay footage from Grand Theft Auto 5. At May 21st. That's one of the biggest things he's saying right now, is there's Rockstar is apparently in talks with Microsoft to try to get their game out there so they can go ahead and say, hey, this is our game right now. Expect a lot of stuff. Expect some big stuff. Because Microsoft wants to outdo Sony.
Rockstar going against the grain.
They've always wanted to be against the grain. They just can't. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's a fair... What I could... The thing is, they could do it as they traditionally do it and be the first one. Which means they'd have all their stuff out and let everybody gush over that ahead of Sony. If they did decide to do it the day after, they would have, obviously, the last laugh because they'd be the last to show. But then, depending on what Sony shows, they could make Xbox's E3 look rubbish and just make everybody just focus on what happened a few weeks before on the Xbox whatever it is reveal. So I guess that's a situation there. We'll have to wait and see. It will all develop. Certainly it will be developed by May the 21st when this happens, which, yeah, that's a Tuesday, and it's, I'm trying to think, it's 10 a.m. Pacific. So it's 1 in the afternoon Eastern, so 6 in the evening for me. I know what I'm doing that day. Not going out.
I've already told the boss pretty much that I have to be home. I have to be watching this, so it's going to be interesting.
A little bit here, just I'll just add in. Skyrim Legendary Edition officially got announced and will be coming out pretty much around E3, first week in June.
Which
is going to have Skyrim and all the DLC.
Which pretty much says, hey, we're done. We're done with Skyrim.
Yeah. Well, you know that they're done because Bethesda already announced their new game. There was teaser trailers and everybody was going, new Fallout, and they went, nope. And everyone was like, what is it then? And then it was revealed, and it's called The Evil Within. It's from Shinji Mikami, who did the original Resident Evil games before they went Western. As in, it's survival horror, like Resident Evil Revelations is. It's coming out next year for PC, current, and next gen. And then I believe the next gen will be using the ID Tech 5 engine. It's one of the big engines that everyone's talking about. Although it won't be out for the Wii U.
Of course not.
No. Now this is one to tie into Microsoft as well and all that Xbox stuff. The Curiosity thing. And Peter Molyneux. Turns out that apparently we're down to the last 50 layers of this mysterious cube, which you can download for free on Apple and Android, if any of you people are interested, but just search for it on the app stores there for that. But he's basically, when they announced, or just before it, they announced this new thing, a new update, where for money, like I think $1, $3, and $10, you can remove layers of the cube or certain amounts of cubes automatically by putting the money in. However, he decided to also put the option in for the $1, $3, and $10 for you to add cubes to the cube. So Peter Molyneux has become the biggest troll in video gaming ever. Pretty much. And then he trolls it even more by saying, we might be seeing what's under the cube next week, or it might just wait until May 21st. My question is, if the center of the cube is whatever the new Xbox is, this is the shittiest marketing campaign I've ever seen, and the most brilliant. Especially because it was free. Because the whole concept, and when I did see it, it did look fun. Sadly, I haven't got an iPhone or an Android in order to... or Android-enabled phone to play it on, but it's just that when the coincidence comes and you know his ties to Microsoft in previous times, you just think, this has all been a work, hasn't it?
Well, somebody straight up asked him, hey, are you publicizing a new game with Microsoft? And he straight up said, I can't comment on that right now. Right there.
It's not a new game.
Well, it doesn't matter. Console. Well, yeah, I mean, we don't know what he's doing. So, I mean, it's... I don't know. I'm tired of Peter Molyneux. I really am.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Another little tidbit as well, Bioshock DLC. There was some rumors saying it could feature Rapture, because I think there's three pieces of DLC, isn't there?
They haven't said how many they're going to do.
Okay. I think there was kind of three teased on the pre-order thing. You know, to get the season pass.
Season pass, they said, hey, yeah, there's going to be DLC. We're not going to tell you what it is. Actually, yeah, it is three. I'm sorry. $5 a piece, so $15.
But we do know that at least this first one will feature a new character, which will be a new companion for whoever it is. It may not be Booker. It may be somebody else. I'm not sure.
We don't know anything right now.
No.
That's the bad thing.
All we know is it's a new person that's going to be with you in the first DLC.
Yeah, I mean that's the best thing about Bioshock Infinite is we don't know anything right now. The only thing we know, hey, yeah, you're getting a new companion, but that's all we're going to tell you. Sorry.
Now let's talk about THQ, because apparently it's still not done and everything. The final auction happened. Gearbox got the Homeworld franchise for I can't remember how much, but pretty much everything else that was up, like Worms, there was a couple of Worms games, and Darksiders, and the MX versus ATV and Red Faction and all that was picked up by Nordic Games, who developed the pretty damn good Alan Wake series, along with some other things. They've picked that up. But from this, apparently the more details have come out about how much THQ has owed. And the creditors are seeking over about $200 million. Obviously, WWE is a big one. Big chunk, but there's some interesting ones as well. Apparently one of them is Double Fine, who did Stacking and Costume Quest for them. They want $680,000 because they weren't told by THQ that the game was going to be made available either at free or at a reduced sale price in its launch week on either PSN or Steam or PC or 360. So they obviously want to be compensated for that, which is fair. Then you've got another thing, like over a rights issue that I can't remember. And then you've also got the two CEOs that were in the company as it went down, Jason Rubin and I can't remember the other guy, seeking about $2 million each in the pay they would have got. Which, considering... You know, I can kind of see their point, because it wasn't their fault that the company went out of business, because they weren't responsible for the U-draw. But I think they've got enough money to not require an extra $2 million, personally.
Okay, hold on. To Bronx in chat, I'm reading the entire chat right now, because it's gotten very interesting. They're talking about Super Mario, the original. Bronx is talking about he thinks it was a glitch. Apparently, his whole line at the end got cut off. You had to jump on the key to break Koopa's bridge, and at the same time, you have to be touching Koopa. No, you just had to hit the key. You had to hit the thing at the end. If you touch Koopa, you die. So, pretty much, that's what it was. So, I don't know where you're getting the whole glitch thing and all that, but you're correct in the whole order of you start out small Mario, you become big Mario, and then you get the fire flower, excuse me. So you're correct in that fashion. But yeah, everything else, I don't know. Go ahead, Ashley.
Coming on to another legal situation that's developed over the last couple of days, Timegate Studios, who co-worked on Aliens Colonial Marines,
yeah,
are apparently filing for bankruptcy protection, as they owe about $10 to $15 million. One is to the publishers of Section 8, sorry, apparently for a couple of million for a whole legal wrangle there with a rights issue. But then, interestingly, they also owe $34.80 to a pizza place for a pizza that they never paid for.
Well, most likely it's $34. That's about two or three.
Yeah.
So, really? You can't pay a pizza bill?
I understand, like, millions and millions, but $34?
I don't know. That's horribly stupid. If I was that pizza place, I would have pretty much sued. I'm like, yo, you owe us money. You owe us $34, but yet we're going to ask for $64 million. But we got this new oven we want. So I don't know. That's really stupid.
Speaking of aliens, though, Gearbox and Sega are now being sued.
Yes.
Over the fact that the false advertising. Those that pre-ordered the game that saw the stuff at E3 were like, wow, this looks pretty damn good. Even those who pre-ordered it like 2 years ago when it was first reported.
Yeah.
Could technically be liable to claim here on this, because clearly what people got in all those original trailers wasn't what was in. And I think this actually came up and got submitted because a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it on the last time we talked? Like last month, that they just put like things on the trailers saying the footage in these trailers does not reflect actual gameplay.
Yeah, it took them until after the game was released to do that. And I want to make a comment to this before we jump back into the original conversation. I am going to be one of those people who claims on this, because I paid $100. Straight up, I paid $100. I really, from the footage that me and Ashley talked about to what I saw, I was telling people left and right that this game was going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. It comes out. I have never said a game is absolute crap. Until now. That was the first thing I told everyone that wanted to buy it.
Oh, you changed the tune now? Because when you reviewed it, you said it was okay.
It's still
now, in hindsight,
okay.
It's just crap.
Well, I played it again the other day. No updates, no nothing. I played the original game. Horrible. Very horrible. I am looking forward to the mods that get released on the PC, because apparently somebody went through the coding of the PC version and found everything that they were going to update. The company originally was going to update that they didn't, that Gearbox pretty much just left in. And I'm really starting to get tired of Gearbox's way of doing things, basically just taking to buying the license of the game and then giving it off to somebody else to do. Gearbox has one of the biggest games right now, Borderlands. And yet they're more worried about that instead of making sure that the money they're about to make on another game, I would be like straight up just making sure that my money that I'm putting into this game over here, that I'm paying this other company, it was going to good use. And apparently it didn't. And apparently Bronx keeps posting three things to my timeline on Facebook.
Posting multiple times, Bronx. Oh, dear.
Oh, look at that. He deleted it, apparently. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Those of you looking forward to Watch Dogs, four special editions got announced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a Uplay exclusive one. There's certainly two or three that are UK. I don't know if they're UK exclusive, but there's the standard special edition that's got the DLC, like a special DLC section. Then you've got the Uplay exclusive, which has got different DLC, like different missions and whatever to unlock stuff. Then there is a possibly UK exclusive hardcore edition, which is basically just the game and the car DLC, let's say, plus you actually get your own, I'm trying to remember his name, Adam Pearce, wasn't it?
Aiden Pearce.
Aiden Pierce, that's it.
Sorry, I'm bringing this up myself to take a look at, because
Aiden Pierce, you get your very own Aiden Pierce mask and cap. So you can look like Aiden Pierce yourself. And then the super, super, super edition has got a figurine a la Assassin's Creed style of Aiden. And a lot of other stuff like badges and...
Yeah, actually, I got the entire list right here.
The soundtracks.
Basically, what comes with the what's called the DedSec, D-E-D-S-E-C. It's the 23-centimeter Aiden Pierce figurine, steelbook, DedSec collector box, Watch Dogs art book, original soundtrack of the game, the Watch Dogs map of Chicago, a set of four collectible cards, discover Watch Dogs iconic characters through augmented reality, and a set of three exclusive badges, which is pretty cool. Apparently, it also contains... Wow, this is everything. Digital content. You get the single-player missions called Palace Pack. You get the investigation bonus, ATM hack boost, signature shots, the Black Viceroy's gang colors outfit, the biometric assault rifle, the breakthrough pack, and a vehicle expert perk. That's a lot of stuff. And then they got the Vigilante. That's pretty cool. That's... All of these are through the Peggy, which is, of course, the European standard. So I don't have anything for the U.S. It doesn't actually have it listed. So I'm hoping that this is going to be a U.S. also.
I'd have thought they'd be probably in certain retailers, there'd be exclusives. Because I believe a couple of the ones out of the four that you can see are... exclusive to game over here, and like one of them is going to be exclusive to independent stores that aren't chains.
Well, see, my thing is, I love baseball caps. I love baseball caps. I kind of want that hat. That hat looks really good. But I have a feeling it's going to be a UK only. So, I mean, if the DedSec one gets released here, I'll order that one. I have no problem buying that one.
Next one, I guess we'll get to the big three things that happened this week, or this past month, should I say. Firstly, the one that kind of disappeared and then appeared within the space of 2 weeks, and that's XCOM. Because... basically, at first they were saying, okay, is the XCOM first-person shooter in trouble? Because the official website was taken down. All the original trailers for it were removed from everywhere. And then a few days later, this announcement came from 2K Marin, who did Bioshock 2, saying, we're going to be doing something this coming week. And it came out, and it turns out it's the Bureau XCOM Declassified, which is going to be coming out in August. I don't know whether they gave a date, but it doesn't look to be proper first-person shooter. It's probably more third-person. It's more third-person, over the shoulder.
It's a squad-based third-person, as far as I can remember.
Well, my only worry about the trailer is I was really looking for gameplay. And it was a live-action trailer.
I'm sorry, I'm looking, I didn't think I was going to be caught off guard by this. I'm actually looking for more information on the entire, from what I'm seeing, the DedSec is coming out U.S., the Vigilante is a possibility of coming out in the U.S., those are the only two they mentioned as a possible U.S.
Just determined for that hat, people.
No, if it comes out, I'm getting DedSec. I'm getting the big one. That's the only thing I care about. I do, but I can probably pay it off somebody. I could probably pay somebody to get it. So, I'm not worried about it. As far as the entire... Wow.
XCOM.
As far as XCOM goes, this is one game that I've been looking forward to. Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, I want this because it looks great. And the whole go out, find the aliens, kill them, and capture their... technology or use it on the spot, and you don't get the chance to do the whole investigating research and all that, looked amazing. The way they played it out looked really good. Now if they're going squad-based, it could be interesting still if they keep a lot of the same methods they had in the original they were thinking about coming out. I canceled mine. As soon as I heard that the game, everything had been taken down and no one said anything, I was like, oh, I'm not sure. And then I canceled it because it cleared out of our systems. And then this week it showed back up as the Bureau, XCOM declassified or unclassified.
Declassified,
right. And the trailer I watched looked really good. They had a really good trailer. It was very 80s style. The way they had a lot of the stuff. I'm waiting for gameplay. I'm hoping for some good gameplay footage soon.
Cause we know 2K apparently isn't going to be at E3, so...
There's no... They could say that and then show up at the last second with something huge. We never know. 2K won't be there with WWE. We know that much. But as far as everything else, we don't know anything. So.
The next big one, which really, it was kind of the, considering it got leaked a few weeks before we went off for the break, it kind of was expected, Batman Arkham Origins. Which, interestingly, will be getting two versions, a la Assassin's Creed. You're going to have the standard edition coming out for consoles.
Well, no, hold on. You're getting two games.
Not getting two editions. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, because you said two editions, and two editions means something completely different.
So yeah, but it's... You're getting... Yeah, what I meant is two editions. They are... Well... There is one that's going to be Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate Edition, I believe, or something like that.
Which is going to be Blackgate.
Yeah, it's going to be exclusive to the 3DS and the Vita.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be a prequel to everything.
I don't know how canon
it's going to be.
I'm looking at the current Game Informer, which actually has Origins of Blackgate in it, and it doesn't say, unfortunately. But it looks good.
Yeah. Sadly, it's not Rocksteady developing it either, and it's going to be Warner Bros. Montreal instead. And the thing I do like is Rocksteady's given the blessing, and Warner Bros. Montreal have basically said, yeah, we're crapping our pants too, because we know we've got a lot to match up to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. They've got a lot to give up on. I mean, they've got a lot to do, so yeah.
They've been teasing multiplayer as well, where people will actually get to play as the villains for the first time.
I don't know. I'm really iffy on that, because I want them to first get the game done and then worry about multiplayer after. I don't know.
But thanks to the new issue of Game Informer, we can pretty much say that there's going to be a new detective mode. It's going to be there as part of the thing. And there's also going to be Captain Gordon. Just to really bring home the fact that this is going to be a prequel to everything. But interestingly, there may be... Well, interestingly, but kind of makes sense if you think about it. There may be no Kevin Conroy this time voicing Batman.
There is not. That's already been confirmed. There is no Kevin Conroy. He was passed over because they wanted to find somebody else. So.
Well, clearly they're looking for somebody younger.
I think it was younger, and he felt a little... he felt like he was passed over unjustly, but he also said that he understands what they're looking for. So.
Uh-huh. I just have it in the side of my head that this is the same thing that happened to David Hayter, apparently. There's something in the back of my head thinking, yeah,
something's happening with him, because we know Kojima likes to swerve people.
While we're on this subject, I do have, like I said, I have it in front of me. The Black Mask is going to be the major villain in this one. Black Mask is, as everybody knows, just been introduced a little while ago in the new style DC stuff. And then, of course, Deathstroke will be in this here. Apparently, he is one of the only villains that has been announced other than Black Mask. So it's very interesting to see that. Rumor is that Oswald Cobblepot, a.k.a. the Penguin, will be in. His ship, The Final Offer, is in, because apparently it's an arena you'll be fighting in. And there's new areas that will be unlocked. Of course, there's the original, the Bowery, Park Road, Amusement Mile, Sheldon Park, and Industrial District that we have been before. But now there will be the Coventry, Diamond District, and Burnley will be new. So it's very cool to hear to see that at the most. There's going to be some very interesting stuff this year. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be very, very
hectic.
Yeah, it's really starting to get to the point where at GameStop we have lists. I've created my own list and realized that I'm kind of screwed. Because everything is coming out almost a week, 2 to 3 weeks past each other. So it's not going to be fun.
Oh, wow. I'm just not being distracted by Amazon as well, but by the looks of it, just having a look, just searching over some of the listings, Saints Row is going to be re-released in June. The first, two and three are certainly going to be re-released on PS3. As part of the fact it's now Deep Silver and not THQ developing it.
Yeah, well, they're probably going to do the same thing they did with WWE. They released WWE 13, and the only thing they did was put 2K on there. So that's probably all they're doing, is putting their names.
Yeah.
It'll be that situation. Just to give you guys a heads up, since we are talking about pre-orders and stuff like that, my listing right now is of this: The Bureau, XCOM, Declassified, Grand Theft Auto 5, Destiny, Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4, the Bioshock Infinite board game, Company of Heroes 2, Sid Meier's Civilization 5, A Brave New World, and Call of Duty, which I guess we should go ahead and talk about.
Yeah, the last big one that got officially revealed this past week with an intriguing trailer, which, if it's going the way I think it is, I think some fans could absolutely pissed. Press okay. X to reload your spears.
No. Don't even try that.
It's when it just featured like all the different ages of historical warriors, I thought, okay, is this like Deadliest Warrior?
No, well, hold on. Let me stop you. Well, it actually goes into, it talks about the mask, the history of why they wear masks, to intimidate, to unify. And they showed all of the masks they've used throughout the years. I mean, we even saw the Witch Doctors, which was very weird for me to see. There was one I had never seen before. He actually reminded me, funny enough, he reminded me of a Doctor Who villain. So it's a very interesting moment for that. But they showed all the masks, and then at the end they showed, well, the game is going to be called Call of Duty, The Ghost. Which, if you remember, Ghost was one of the characters in Call of Duty 2 and 3, I believe. Modern Warfare 2 and 3. Rumor was he died. Apparently he didn't. Spoilers. Oh well. It's been out for a long time.
I love the fact that they're saying, oh, this isn't Modern Warfare 4. Practically is, because you're taking one of the major characters from the Modern Warfare series and you're giving them what they'll probably say is their own series of games, but it's Modern Warfare 4 in all but name.
But they probably are showing off what he did after Modern Warfare 2 into Modern Warfare 3 and then past Modern Warfare 3. So it's probably, I mean, I can see that it's not going to be Modern Warfare 4, but in the same, it probably is. And to Mac and chat, I don't have Last of Us yet because I'm holding off until after A Brave New World and Company of Heroes comes out, because I've hit the corporate limit for pre-orders. So
he'll just play the demo on God of War Ascension over and over again.
I'm not excited for it. I'm going to say that. I'm not excited for The Last of Us. It looks good. I'm going to play it, but I'm not fully excited.
I bet he didn't see the spoilers that leaked, though.
I don't really care, in all honesty. Yeah.
I'm not going to say any more, Mac. Don't worry.
I will say, well, let's get back to Call of Duty. They're saying that it's going to be completely revamped multiplayer. It's going to be completely revamped engines, except for the original 360, which will have the regular engine that had Modern Warfare 3. It will be updated to basically push the 360 to its limits, but we will have a completely new engine for the next-gen system, which is looking pretty good. If you pre-order from GameStop now, you get a limited edition double-sided poster, and I'm trying to remember, you also get a camo skin for a weapon in the Black Ops 2, which is actually a pretty nice skin. I was using it today. So, anything else you want to mention on that front?
No, I think that's all we really know about Call of Duty. Yeah, November the 5th.
Yeah. November 5th, we will see a lot more come May 21st. So we will definitely be talking about that day. Expect that. And just as we did for the PS4 announcement, I'll be in chat. I'll be in chat for the announcement. I'm sure Ashley will probably be right there with me, because I'll have chat on one side, I'll have the announcement on the right hand side, and then on my laptop I'll have Facebook, and I'll be posting things left and right, just as I did. And people are gonna get pissed, and I don't care. In all honesty,
and I'll have my notepad because I'll have to report on it when we get to Friday.
We will be talking a lot about it. I do want to say to the people who got pissed off at the PS4 announcements, sorry about your damn luck. Because that's what the Facebook page is for. It's for us to post everything that we like, be it movies, video games, wrestling, pretty much everything that we feel is relevant to what we're going to talk about, we post it. And a lot of people got pissed off about that. There was more people who was happy to see that, but there was some people who did got pissed off, and I find that absolutely hilarious. Just like today, and I didn't want to bring this up, but I'm kind of pissed off about it now. Congratulations to Andy's little one, Andy Knowles. She apparently won her little contest. We have some little bitch who wants to be a little dick and shit all over his whole thing. Why? Why is the only question? And I really hope that person has something else to do with their time, because if not, he is a complete little douche, just like the other Andy that's around. I'm going to leave it just like that. So congratulations to Andy Knowles. Andy Princess Griffiths? Power. Hush. Wait, what did you just say?
Andy Griffiths.
He passed away, dude. Shut your mouth. He was the state son, okay? He is from North Carolina. He is the state son.
I was going to say Andy Kaufman, but there's too much conspiracy theories about that.
Yeah, just leave that one there. So congratulations to Princess Power, who did win her little title today. Good job. Yeah, that completely ticks me off. So let me jump into all of my little things. I'm sorry, Ashley, are you done, Ashley, first?
Well, there's one I want to leave to the end because I know what it might bring out in Sean.
Okay, we'll leave that to the end. I do have a very few stories. The first one is actually going to be about Beyond Two Souls, which... I didn't care about in the beginning. But after seeing the footage, one of the trailers they showed off at the Tribeca Film Festival, I was all about this game. This game looked amazing to me now. Basically, one of the very interesting things, and we actually see some of the footage in the trailer, but apparently in the game, you're going to attempt to commit suicide. You're also going to deliver a baby. So I'm just going to leave that there. Let that sink in for a little while. And just keep it that way because,
press
wow.
X to Jason.
What?
Press X to Jason.
Okay, explain.
That was one of the infamous things from Heavy Rain.
Oh, okay.
You know, when your character's calling out for Jason, you had to press the X button for him to go, Jason! So, basically what it went down in the internet terms is press X to Jason. Alternatively, now in the Star Trek game, you can press X, Spock, move to, but...
I want to play it. It looks really good. I've heard some good things about the Star Trek game.
From?
Really? You've heard bad things?
It's glitchy as hell.
Well, I mean, it depends.
You can create Spurk. You can actually put Spock inside of Kirk and vice versa. And okay. If you get your tricorder out, you can be stood right next to Spock, and he is 17 foot taller than you.
How many games have not had problems in the beginning? I mean,
the worrying thing is they haven't patched it yet. I think
they're probably working on it.
They've certainly patched the PC one. Console one, I'm not sure about.
They're probably working on it. You can't say that they aren't. I'm trying to see if there's anything really I need to bring up. Because Ashley covered a lot of the stories. And that's very... We're going to talk about that. I think that's actually the one you're holding off on. So I'm going to go back up and take a look at everything up here at the top. Apparently, the Metal Gear Solid Legacy Edition will not be coming to the States. Or will not be released on the 360, excuse me.
Yeah. Don't scare people.
Man. That's crazy. What is actually in the Legacy Editions?
Metal Gear Solid 1. And Metal Gear Solid 1 VR missions, or Integral, whatever it was called, depending where you were in the world. Metal Gear Solid 2, HD. Metal Gear Solid 3, which will be the Subsistence Edition, which means it will also include the original MSX Metal Gear 1 and 2. Metal Gear Solid 4. Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. And I think that's it. It's pretty much got every single... major Metal Gear Solid apart from like the acid ones for the PSP.
The reason why it's
not coming to the 360 is apparently if you were to put Metal Gear Solid 4 on the 360, due to the fact it's a DVD drive and not a Blu-ray, it would require 7 discs.
Yeah.
Which, considering PS3 has 1 disc, tells you a lot about why Xbox is moving up.
Oh, wow. This is pretty cool. I happen to find a story on the Brave New World. I'm actually going to have to read this afterwards. But it talks about all the new stuff that's going to be in a Brave New World, which looks very interesting. There's a lot of really cool stuff. Apparently, there's a game on Kickstarter right now called Boon Hill. And Ashley, being a Kickstarter person like you, I don't know if you've heard about this game.
Boon Hill, no.
Okay. Boon Hill. A new Kickstarter project created by a guy named Matthew Ritter. There's no way to win or lose Boon Hill. You know what the game's about? It's about walking through a graveyard. Um... I'm going to read the entire thing here. I don't want to imply the game is aimless. Boone Hill is about inferred stories, about the connections people have that continue even after they die. The graveyard tells many tales woven by those who have long since passed. Stories of love, life, sorrow, and joy told over generations. The threads of narrative are woven throughout the gravestones for you to discover. If you have the inkling to look, a row of graves all with the same circumstances. An epitaph that reads, "Survived by no one," is dour, yes. But clearly, someone carried out their last wishes. Here, people are tied together by something as simple as similar as birthdays, the places they were born or died, and even the style of their grave markers. Subtle stories abound in the row of stones. Apparently, he is only asking for $5,000 to make it happen. And as of right now, he has $2,585.
How long has he got?
22 days.
I still got 3 weeks, so.
Yeah. If I did Kickstarter, I would back it. It looks very interesting. I would do it. That's pretty crazy.
In essence, it kind of, the story wise, it kind of has elements of the game Dear Esther. Because Dear Esther is like more of a point and click. There's no actual kind of huge gameplay to it. It's just that there's this backstory about something happening, possibly to do with death. But the thing is, it, depending where you visit places in that thing, it can slightly vary the story of what happened. Like if you go to like the park bench third instead of first, there'll be a slightly different take on it. So I don't know how many different variants. It probably isn't like Battlefield or whatever with guns where you can have like 59 million different versions. Again,
never know.
Obsession with 59. People that have heard the old indie show will get that, but dear.
He actually put up an estimate of how he felt the money was spent. $500 to $800, sound design. $2,000 to $5,000, programming. $1,500 to $3,000, pixel art. $500 to $800, and writing. Total production cost between $4,500 and $9,600. So, he's basically looking for the bottom line. So, like I said, if I did Kickstarter, I would fund his game. But I don't do Kickstarter, so, oh well, sorry for him.
Well, at least we got awareness of the project out there for people that may be interested here.
Yeah, definitely. Oh well. To Mac, who sent me, who put the link up, I'm not going to play it on the air. Sorry. I don't just do that. So, sorry. But let's jump into quick reviews right quick. Because I know what Ashley has at the end of his story, and I want to talk about that a little bit. So I want to talk about Dead Island Riptide, which was pretty much destroyed by a lot of reviews. A lot of people trashed it. And I mean, let me bring up the Meta review right quick and tell you exactly how the reviews came out. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Because from what I've heard, Dead Island Riptide has pretty low... Wow. Star Trek's a 43.
Yeah, well, that tells you everything. User-wise, it's a lot higher because an Angry Joe pointed this out on his vlog. The first three people to put up ratings were giving it like 9s and 10s. The only games they had ever rated on were Star Trek the Game. And then apparently the co-op wasn't working on Steam for people. So he went to the forums and somebody in the forums said, "Oh, it works perfectly fine for me." Looking into it, it turns out this person had unlocked every single achievement on the game 6 months ago. And
wow, really?
It turned out he was one of the developers of the game. So no wonder he had the thing early.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I don't like about some of this stuff. Because they'll come out and say, "Yeah, it's a great game. Love it." Oh, you're a developer, by the way. No, I'm not.
One person that I follow on Tinternet and all that went to one of these press things like 6 weeks ago before the game came out. And then the glitches were in, and he was pointing them out to the guys, saying, you probably want to fix this, because he thought it wasn't the final build. Pretty much every glitch that he saw 6 weeks ago is in the game as it was new.
I'm looking at... I need to go back to that Alan Riptide. There are 6 positive reviews, 19 mixed reviews, and 8 negative. There's a 56 out of 100 Metascore. I am here to tell you right now that as one of the voices of the voiceless, Dead Island Riptide is a very good game. It keeps true to what Dead Island was. It keeps true to actually the whole co-op style of the game. One of the best co-op games out there to date. You will have fun. You will have fun playing with your friends. You will have fun playing this game by yourself. You will have fun with this game, period. There's a lot of just stupid fun stuff. There's a new character in the game this time. You're going to a new island. Talanai, I believe, on the Benoit
Archipelago.
There you go. In his British style. The game is really good. I will definitely give it a rent if you want to try it out. I didn't play it for a couple of days because I didn't really want to. I didn't have time. I was involved in something else, playing something else. And then I sat down and played it and actually could not stop playing it. So if you really want to play a good game as a co-op game and enjoy it with your friends, play it. It is worth it. And I will definitely say that I absolutely loved playing the game.
For me, I'd say it isn't, you know, it wasn't an excellent game. You know, it's not going to beat Bioshock Infinite for like Game of the Year or whatever.
No, no.
But I think it's better than the first one. First one did have quite a bit of issues, arguably. Certainly the review copies that were sent to all the press really negativized. Was really not that wasn't the edition that the people actually got retail. It's a bit stupid to send out a broken copy to the reviewers because people kind of base their stuff on reviews. That was an okay-ish game, probably around 50-ish mark. I'd say this one probably is probably around the 70 mark, 7 out of 10. It's better than the first one. And the thing is, if you have played Dead Island, you can import your character straight in.
Yep.
Which is a lot easier. But then if you haven't, you actually start, rather than at level 1 like you would, you actually start about level 10, I think it is. So it doesn't really drop you right in the deep end to be completely overpowered. And then the genius thing as well is, if you go co-op with your friends, the zombies will always go for the person that's ranked the highest. So let's say you're level, I don't know, 18, because you don't play it that much. And Sean is level 56. So I think you can get up there. The zombies will always target the person with the highest the level. Because that's obviously the key one that's clearly been playing the game the most. So they do it that way. So for new people that are playing with their friends that may not have picked it up immediately, it does kind of introduce it to them and lets them help out by... I don't think they take... When the souped-up zombies actually take damage to the lower-level people, it's still scaled down, which I think is a nice, fair move, to be honest, and actually pretty good from Deep Silver.
I actually don't agree with you at all. I feel that Dead Island, the first one, is 7, and that Dead Island Riptide is 8.5.
You still agree, though, that this is better than the first one?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I really wanted to do. That was the main aim.
Dead Island was a great game. Co-op based, great. Dead Island Riptide, even better. So pretty much, if you want to try something really cool, if your friends have it, pick it up, rent it, play it, enjoy it. If they don't have it, you can play it by yourself. It's a good game still. So try it out. The next game I want to give a quick, not a full review, but kind of a half review, I guess. Ashley might know a little bit more on it. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Oh.
That was very long and very loud, but thank you very much.
like the game.
I started playing it earlier today on the PC. I walked into GameStop earlier, a little later, and actually told them to give me 1,200 points. I wanted to play it on the 360. Just like I did with the Far Cry 3 game itself, I bought it on 360 and PC. So, Blood Dragons alone, I don't even know what to say. I'm going to say it like this. If you're a fan of Far Cry 3, get Blood Dragon. Get Blood Dragon no matter what.
If you're a fan of the 1980s.
If you like the 1980s, you liked all the colors, all the laser stuff, buy Blood Dragon.
If you like Tron.
I haven't got that far in it, so I can't say anything about that. The game, it's
all the neon stuff is Tron-esque.
Yeah, it is. The game is really crazy. I will straight up say that. It's a lot of fun. You get a bow, which of course is pretty awesome. I'm just going to say like this. Get the game, play it. It's worth it.
Best tutorial ever.
I hated that flipping tutorial.
That was the purpose of it.
I wanted to kill the person who created that. The tutorial is pretty much, they called it the basic tutorial. You're pretty much stuck in one spot, clicking A button, clicking enter button, whatever. Basically trying to make it go on, go on, go on, go on.
And your character's going, fucking tutorials.
Yeah, pretty much. He is trashing the person who did it to him. He's trashing the tutorial. It's hilarious. It's worth checking out.
The first one when it comes up, press A to prove that you can read this.
Yeah. Which alone, I was like, really? But they did a good job. Definitely worth it.
Of course, some people got to play it early, but yeah.
Well, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, there was an issue with Ubisoft's Uplay website where everybody went to get the review copies like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Turns out the website wasn't locked down enough. People exploited that, and quite a lot of people downloaded it for free on mostly Uplay via PC. Not many, I think, console-wise, more PC. But nearly everybody that did has now bought it again because they want to give them the money because they've enjoyed it so much.
Which
ties into,
does turn us into our next little conversation piece, which I am very happy to talk about. Go ahead and actually bring up the story that we're going to first start this off with.
This is irony to the ironiest degree. It's just brilliant.
I'm waiting on you, buddy.
Okay, I'm bringing it up. Okay. It's Greenheart Games is the name of the company.
Which, I do want to say something on this. It's two people. It is pretty much two people that are Greenheart Games, and that's it. Everybody's thinking, oh, Greenheart Games, it's a company. There's 8, 10, 20 people. Nope. Two people.
Two
people. Okay.
They brought out a game which came out this week called Game Dev Tycoon, which basically is a video game about developing video games for various different generations, right from the early years,
80s,
up to the, yeah, right from the 80s and everything, right through to certainly current gen, possibly next gen, I'm not sure.
Next gen, yes.
Next gen is featured, yeah. Okay. And what it is, it was up on Steam, I'm not sure how much for.
No, it is not.
Okay.
It's on Steam to be greenlit. That's pretty much how it is.
Oh, okay. I thought some people have actually played the game normally.
You can. It is available through the company to buy.
Yeah.
They don't.
So, instead of that, people could get the pirated version, because they basically placed it also up on a torrent site. Well, as it turned out, this torrent site one was, I guess you could call, a special edition of sorts. Basically, the whole idea is you develop the games, and obviously, because games are relatively cheap to develop and because they have such huge markups on them, mostly, you make quite a big profit, especially when it comes to the futuristic, you know, current and next gen, because you've got a lot more audience than you did back in the 80s. But in the pirated version, when you get to the current gen, you only get a tenth, roughly, of the money you should be getting. Because, ironically enough, the game you're developing apparently has been pirated onto torrent sites as well. And people have been going on, like, the forums of the website and Steam, going, why is this happening to me?
You know,
not realizing that basically Greenheart have done this on purpose to basically go, yeah, this is the purpose of it, isn't it? It's just utter beauty. Utter beauty. Utter beauty for me. Okay. Now Sean apparently got... Oh no, Sean dropped. That's what happened. Sean dropped. All I heard was Sean say, and silence. And it's like, well, no, because I heard him. Whoops. Sean's going, what? And it's like, I have no clue what happened. Sean just dropped. But yeah, that's... It's a pretty damn sweet thing, though, for Greenheart Games to do. I don't know whether... Hopefully... it's really a case of trying to get Sean back, and I don't want to go to break, because the one story that I want to do, Sean was going to completely go ape on, and apparently... Yeah, we still got technical issues, for sure. Oh, no, we might be back.
Possibly. To a certain point, yeah.
Yeah.
I should be back. I don't know what's going on. That was out of nowhere. I was standing up away from my computer, actually, and I just dropped for some strange reason. What did you talk about? I'm sorry.
Just about how Greenheart are legends are doing this.
Yes, they are. I am very proud to say that I bought the game. $8. I had no problem putting down $8 for a game with a company of two people. Absolutely. I've spent possibly 40 hours in this game alone. I have spent on my current part of the game, I have spent 18 hours, I believe. And I am in year 29, which is actually about to end my game, because year 30 is when basically all the consoles have finished coming out. Basically, it's next year. The Inbox, it's called the Inbox Next or whatever, has launched. The PS4 has launched, and then the Wii version thing has launched.
Nobody cares about the Wii.
Pretty much no. They actually give a list of what's popular, and the Inbox, the next box and the PS4 are the highest two, and then PC, and then there's the 3DS alternative, and then there's the Wii U at the bottom.
Wow.
And it's just
going
like
just above the Vita,
which is actually not in there.
Oh.
There's no Vita. There's a PSP. There is the iPad. And then there's the iPhone. And that's pretty much it. for the next gen type systems. Oh, excuse me, and then there's also the Microsoft tablet. So I mean, there's a lot of different stuff in the game in the top part. But apparently, you can. I've just gotten to the third area. I've just finally, I guess, unlocked the third area. Making money in this game is really hard. I'm gonna put it like that. There's a lot of different things making games that make money. It's really hard. You got to find what people like in a game. And it's really hard because you unlock engines, you research engines, you do all of this stuff, and it's just really cool all the stuff you can do in the game. If you're even curious about it, buy it. It's $8. What's going to happen? You all of a sudden need gas, and you've got $42, and $50 fills up your car. Oh well. Put $8 into this game. It is worth it. The game is one of the best, and I will say that I'm going to contact Greenheart and try to get an interview with the creators of the game to talk about the piracy, to talk about the game itself, and then talk about Steam Greenlight. That's my plan. Hopefully I can make it come to fruition, but who knows? I'm hoping. But the game is a buy. As soon as we finish the show tonight, I'm actually going to play. Heck, I may pull the game up in a second.
Addicted.
I am. I may pull the game up in a second and start playing. I don't know yet.
No, because then it will cause Skype call to crash again.
No, because it does not. Well, Skype's on my laptop. I don't know why I'm having problems with my laptop right now. But I will say it's the download's pretty fast, and then the game doesn't need the internet at all. So it's pretty cool. Anything else we need to talk about?
Yeah.
What? Let's get religious.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yes.
BioShock Infinite. One of the best games of the year. Probably will be one of the best games of the year. Turns out somebody had a problem with it. This person who is Christian went to Steam and said, I demand a refund for my copy of BioShock Infinite that I purchased from you. Their reason? In the game, you have to be baptized, and I refuse to be baptized, but it's forced on me. I have no choice in the matter. Therefore, it is against my religious beliefs. Therefore, I want my money back. Valve, amazingly, has actually given the money back to this person. And I'm just completely flabbergasted by it all.
Okay, my turn. Valve probably gave him the money after laughing at him. They probably said, hey, can you call us? And they probably laughed at him over the phone. Anyone who knows me knows that I am religious. I really am. I am Baptist in my religious views. As far as that goes, no. Why? What? That it was forced on you because that's part of the game. As far as the entire, he gets ticked off. Yeah, he's probably one of those that's locked in the house, can't get out there, and I don't know. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard about. And to Mac, no, we're not going to talk about Game of Thrones. It is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard about. Somebody want their money back because they were forced to get baptized. Absolutely stupid. The guy, you know what it is? I know what it is. He's from Westboro Church. That's what it is.
He had to bring up that. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. You brought up whatever you brought up in the first segment. It's my turn.
We're all going crazy.
It's stupid. It is absolutely one of the stupidest things out there. To Mac, you can stop crying also. So I do say to that person, you need to grow up and stop being a little kid. Straight up. Okay? Okay. I think that's it. I think that's it for this segment. We'll jump into commercial. We have gone a little bit long in this segment, of course, like we always do. We'll jump into entertainment, and then we'll probably end the show. So we'll be back in a minute. You are about to hear, I blank. What is this one again?
The theme from Far Cry 3 and Blood Dragon, I believe.
That's right. Blood Dragon. I apologize, guys. It was Blood Dragon. So we'll catch you guys in a minute.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mind Wipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Hey everybody, the Bronx Father here. Are you an Impact Wrestling fan? Are you looking for a place where you can talk about TNA Wrestling and give your opinion on the product? Then you have to tune in to TNA Chat Live every Thursday night at 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain, where I break down this week's episode of Impact Wrestling, talk some TNA news, and of course take your phone calls and emails over at TNA Chat Live at snsradionetwork.com. So join us every Thursday and cross the line right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Does listening to wrestling news live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Ow! Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
Let's go to our ring announcer.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. And I'll see you at the matches. It's go time.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I caught Skip Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlockSandlines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fatih.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
And now back to the open book on the SNS Radio Network.
Welcome back, guys. This is the Open Book, of course, in segment 3, where we will talk entertainment. And of course, as Shifty just alluded to in chat, that was from Iron Man 3, which I have not seen yet. We'll probably talk about that next week a little bit more in detail.
Iron Man 3 spelt out for some reason.
Okay. But yeah, we'll talk about that more in detail next week. As Ashley decides to interrupt me for some reason.
Sorry, it isn't Iron Man the number 3, it's Iron Man THREE. For some reason, they are deciding to spell the number 3 to make sure people don't think it's spelt wrong or something, I don't know.
What? What are you talking about?
The official title of the movie is Iron Man THREE.
No, it's not.
Not the number 3.
Yes, it is.
It isn't. The classification, and I think you'll probably see it at the end of the movie, because it does feature at the end of the movie as well, which caught me off guard.
The number three
is spelt out.
In the movie, yes, because they can do whatever the hell they want in the movie, but everywhere else, no, it's not. It's the number 3.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, okay. What?
You're going a little too far into it. Back out a little bit. Let's stay right here.
If you want me to do my mini review now, all I'll say is it's better than the second.
Okay, there you go. There's his mini review of the movie. I have seen a few pictures. I have been spoiled a little bit. I'm not happy that I got spoiled the way I did. Oh well. I'll just leave it at that. This is an entertainment segment. We will be, of course, talking about entertainment. So let me throw it off to Ashley so he can start with the entertainment news, as we both have
Let's tie into some Marvel stuff first.
Please tell me I didn't drop.
No, you didn't. You were still there. But you disappeared for a couple of seconds, but then you came back. Don't worry. Michael Rooker, Patrick... No, no, not Patrick. Lee Pace. No, sorry, Lee Paul. And
Ophidnia Love Bond are going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. Rooker will be Yanalu, who I think is one of the four Guardians. The other two are going to be a villain and Ophidnia, whatever, Miss Love Bond, will be apparently aiding the Collector character. I don't know whether they've cast that yet off the top of my head, I can't remember. But that news came through. You also had the news that Avengers 2 will start shooting in February 2014. Along with some rumours that he is interested in bringing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in. Possibly. Because he teased like a brother-sister combination, which they're the only ones. Rights-wise, they would have to never mention that they're mutants, because then you'd be verging on X-Men territory, and that's all held by Fox. But interesting one that came up the last couple of days, three or four major characters are now starting to, or have returned to the Marvel franchise from where they were. And they are Daredevil, Punisher, Blade, and Ghost Rider. So they are now back all under the Marvel banner. They're not with any other studios. So practically, down the line, you could see reboots of those movies if they wanted to do them. Or insert those characters somehow into Avengers. Daredevil is probably the easiest of the four, arguably. But that looks pretty good. Try in as well now, we'll do some video game stuff to get it out of the way early. Three big video game stories, really. Gears of War film, they've announced the producer will be Scott Stoker, who produced quite a lot of Universal stuff, so Safe House and Ted and Battleship he worked on, certainly last year. He'll be producing the Gears of War movie. You've also got Ratchet and Clank will be coming as well, a Ratchet and Clank movie in 2015. The trailer actually looks pretty good because it is going to be using the original people, should I say, from the games, all the voice cast. And I'm really a fan of that, so I'm really looking forward to that. And then this one's a bit of a swerve, because it's a game in itself as to why they've done it. DreamWorks has bought out Trolls. So, do they still sell Trolls in America?
Yeah.
Well, technically, if you buy one now, you're buying a DreamWorks Troll. Because they own the rights to everything. Not just like movie rights, they actually own them. So expect a rebrand, and probably the new Shrek series will become Troll. All about Trolls, probably. Big news actually coming out as well from, it was a few weeks ago, it was kind of like the Las Vegas Cinema Con, I think it was called, where nearly every single company that's in film reveals what they're doing or their plans. This is where some of the Avengers stuff came out from, but Universal revealed that there's going to be Pitch Perfect 2. There's going to be another Bourne sequel. There's going to be a sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman. And the Fast and Furious 7 movie will be coming out July 2014. So they're really going to do a quick turnaround. Rumor has it that there might be no Rock in it as well. Which would be, I guess, a bit of a shame. Because he wasn't too bad in Fast 5. Apparently he's getting quite a bit of, or a lot of praise for some of his stuff that he's done on 6. But it will be James Wan directing, who directed Saw and Insidious and Death Sentence. So it's the first time he'll really be going into a proper action-style film. This is, of course, as we mentioned last month, the director at the minute, John, isn't it Chu, isn't it?
I'm not entirely sure, I'm sorry.
The director of Fast 6 certainly doesn't want to work on another one so soon. He doesn't want to be blown out by it. Another couple of things that also came out, 21 Jump Street 2 is also going to have a sequel next year from that.
And there's going to be a
crew. Talking about, go ahead.
Croods 2 as well.
So just talk about Comic-Con right quick. They did it. They did release the trailer for Pacific Rim that was supposedly only be shown at Comic-Con, but Guillermo del Toro pretty much was like, "Yeah, you guys have asked for so much. I'm going to give it to you." And they released it. They released the trailer. Great trailer. I'm looking very forward to this movie. Pacific Rim was really turned around and has reminded me a lot of how Godzilla should be done, I guess. Or how I guess later years of Godzilla are going to look, probably. But I'm looking very forward to how it's going to be, how it's going to be done.
This is an interesting one, which kind of swerved me. Microsoft has announced that as part of new ventures, because I think they've got a TV studios kind of company now, or online studios, whatever they're calling it. Basically, it's trying to be the same as Netflix and Amazon, in which they're going to do their own original programming. One of the ones they are intrigued in is the resurrection of Heroes, which, to me, depends on where it comes from. If they want to do it from where it jumped off, okay. If they want to do it from what the end of the first season and imagine that the other seasons never happened, excellent. Because the first season was really good. From season two, it kind of really petered off into nothing. Hence why it got cancelled after, I think it was season four. Possibly three. Can't remember. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
After season three or four, I can't remember. It was when they had the writer strike. I fell out of the show. During the whole time travel thing, I just didn't care anymore. It got confusing. It got stupid. The writer strike pretty much killed the show for me.
Okay, I'm being corrected in the chat. After we both got it wrong, it was Justin Lin that directed Fast 6 and John Chudes did G.I. Joe. Just that shifty. I want to get the right information out. This is an interesting little story that may or may not develop into something. Hayley Atwell, after quite a lot of people linked her or would like her to be in the role, admitted in an interview that people were on the internet wanting her to be the new Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider reboot that's supposed to be coming up. And she herself expressed an interest. Mainly because she'll be able to play video games as Research, apparently. So I go, yes, this is the kind of person we want in the role. Because, yeah, okay, she hasn't done... Most people will know her for Downton Abbey here in the UK, and she's appeared in a couple of movies. Quite often, quite a lot of drama stuff that she's done, like Black Mirror, which I don't know whether it's reached over in America, but my God, watch it, because it's so brilliant. But the only big role that she's had Hollywood-wise, off the top of my head, would be Captain America. She's had a couple of roles, but she's never had a huge major role just yet. But I think Hayley Atwell could do a good job. Plus, she's got the right curves, just saying. The UK will be getting World's End, the new Simon Pegg film, a month earlier than usual. It was supposed to be coming about August, but due to conflicting with other films around that time, they're now going to be releasing it in July. I think it's still coming out for about September-October time in America, I believe. But you should be looking forward to it, because even though we haven't seen a trailer, I'm already going, this is probably going to be the best comedy of the year. Just because of the reputation of Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Martin Freeman, Eddie Marsden. Trying to think who else is in it. Paddy Considine. Just really good. And I guess the final one to bring up would be something apparently Sean wants to talk about. Dodgeball. A sequel is going to be coming down the line.
Why? That's pretty much the only question I can ask. Why? Yeah, it was an okay movie, but it was stupid. It was horrible. Why? I don't know.
Some people would say the same about Anchorman.
I never saw Anchorman. I have not seen Anchorman.
Ah.
So, I mean, take it for what you want. I don't know. I don't really care. So,
Shifty saying better than This Is the End. That's the only one that could rival it. And the problem is when that comes out here, that, depending when it comes out, This Is the End could come out exactly the same time as The World's End. Possibly. Which could be awkward.
So what did you want to talk about, Dodgeball?
That's all for me.
Okay.
Well, no, it's just that I want to mention that, you know, just start it off with, like, Lance Armstrong. He's had to resort to just doing dodgeball now in order to make ends meet. Somehow I don't think he would, because he still wants to keep his what's left of his reputation intact. But, anyway, that's it.
I got a few quick stories. Definitely got a little bit more than I expected. The first one I do want to jump off with is apparently Colin Trevorrow has tweeted a pic, and it just says Nublar, JP4. And someone tagged it, does this look familiar? So apparently the first picture of coming from Jurassic Park 4 has already been kind of leaked or set out. They're going back to Izlar Nublar for Jurassic Park 4. Now, what's the story? Is it going to be taken over by the dinosaurs after 20 years? Has another company came in? Has the park reopened? What's going on? No one knows. So we'll have to find out when more stuff is revealed about the trailer or revealed about the movie. But just the fact they're going back to Nublar makes me very happy. Apparently the first pictures of Ben Kingsley as Mazer Rackham from Ender's Game has been posted by Entertainment Weekly. It seems he cannot stop being in movies right now. Ben Kingsley just finished with Iron Man 3, and he's already in another film. The picture actually looks pretty cool. I'll give that up. I'm kind of looking forward to Ender's Game, as I've never read the book, but I've heard, but I've always seen and heard that it's really good. So, Oz the Great and the Powerful is being announced to release already on DVD on June 11th. So it looks like it's coming out pretty fast compared to how it's came out before. That's pretty interesting. I'm looking at some of the stuff that's actually in it. And, I mean, I'm going to buy it. I want to see it. It looks good. Kelsey Grammer is apparently going to be a human villain in Transformers 4. The name? Harold Attinger. And apparently he will be a counterintelligence officer in the movie.
And then he falls off the stage and goes, "Oh, dear God."
Lily Collins is apparently going to headline Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Collins has apparently been in Mirror Mirror and has also been in, or was about to be in, the Mortal Instruments City of Bones. Not sure what else she's been in, sorry. So it's very cool.
Yeah, that's a significant body of work to get in something like that.
I'll go with this other story. Apparently, Despicable Me 2 has just lost their villain. Al Pacino has left Despicable Me 2. And apparently, what?
That film's coming out next month, and they've lost the... Serious? Oh my God.
Apparently, he's already been replaced by Benjamin Bratt. He has been on Law & Order, has also been in Miss Congeniality and Catwoman. Apparently he's done voice work for Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and the upcoming sequel. So maybe they already had everything finished and just the voices was left to do, which, I mean, is a possibility.
With a month to go?
I mean, voices, all they got to do is tie it into where it's got to go, and it's done. As long as he don't jump off script, he's good to go. Apparently, Men in Black 4 has been planned and will have Oren Uziel as the scripter. And it is set to come out, apparently... No, wait, that's not it. That's 21 Jump Street 2. Really? No, that's when... They give a release date, June 6, 2014, as release date for 21 Jump Street 2. They have the release date for Men in Black 4, but apparently there's rumors that Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones will be returning. They're not entirely sure. Tommy Lee Jones says that... No, Will Smith actually said, we'll have to see what people say. There's a good reaction to the film. It's not something I would be against. Hopefully we're not going to keep the same pattern. It was 5 years between the first and second and 10 years between the second and third. That will be 20 years. I'll be 63 years old. I'm not a good look. It's not a good look. So hopefully they can turn around and get it done pretty fast.
Like Fast 7.
No, not that fast. If you saw what I posted on the Facebook page, you would have seen that I watched The Haunted House. I liked it. It was a good film. So apparently, because I had to say it was a good film, they decided they're going to create a second one, Haunted House 2. And it will be written and directed by Marlon Wayans. They already have a release date for March 28, 2014. And the poster... The teaser poster, eh? I don't.
A teaser poster out for the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm looking forward to it.
Basically, it's going to be like Anchorman. They filmed two movies at the same time, and they're just going to put the second movie out as a sequel.
Apparently, Ashley has just decided to go. Ranting a little bit for a second. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it at the most. It looks good.
I'm looking forward to that more than Scary Movie 6.
Yeah. And my last story... What?
I just remember the last one of them that came out was that inappropriate comedy from the ShamWow guy.
And my last story is basically the rumors going around that shooting locations for Star Wars... Episode 7 might start in Iceland. That's pretty much all they're saying, but early rumors are saying, hey, could we see Hoth? Maybe a settlement on Hoth? Who knows? But early rumors, that's what they're saying. So that's all I have for my stories.
Tom Cruise walks in shot. Sorry, this is Oblivion 2. Oblivion was shot in Iceland.
I know. I do want to say one thing. Oh, wow. Apparently, okay, I got one more story. Apparently, Ron Perlman has made a demand. He demands that Guillermo del Toro makes another Hellboy film. So, Ron Perlman makes the demand. He basically says, I want to finish this trilogy. Get over there and do it. So, hopefully we'll see it. I know that Ron Perlman is in Pacific Rim. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Nearly everything Del Toro does, Ron Perlman's in.
So, I like Ron Perlman.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole Scorsese, De Niro, and... now Scorsese DiCaprio.
Or Bruce Campbell and
Sam Raimi.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever his name is. I have a question for you, and I know this is going to be interesting. Last year, when they first showed off pictures of Star Trek, do you remember do you remember the Mind Wipe going completely nuts on the Facebook page about how he saw pictures of the Enterprise coming out of the water?
Vaguely, yeah.
I thought about that the other day when I saw the trailer for the newest trailer for Star Trek, and it was falling out of the sky, and I can only wonder. And I was just thinking, Mind Wipe, really? You couldn't have waited to see how the trailer was going to show up before you just completely bashed. But I do see his opinion, because I caught the tail end of the Great Gatsby trailer, and I thought it was Bioshock. I thought it was the Bioshock movie. The way it ends, I didn't see it. I didn't see the full ending. I just saw how they acted out and all that, and then I saw like a design. And a buddy of mine said something to me, and I turned around to look at him, and I turned back to look at the screen. I didn't see Great Gatsby. It was just hilarious that I thought it was Bioshock. So,
would you kind of get in the car, Gatsby?
Well, I didn't hear anything. I just saw. I looked at the TV. I didn't hear anything. So, I'm looking forward to the Great Gatsby. It's looking very interesting.
See, this is where it all plays off on each other. This next week, we get Star Trek, and the week after, we get Great Gatsby. You get it completely the other way around. America gets Gatsby first and then Star Trek. Although, interestingly, due to the fact that they don't want it to go against Hangover 3, Fast 6 has now moved a week earlier for us in the UK. So apparently they like giving us movies first, because 4, when it comes out October for us, will be the week after November for America as well. Then again, we have to wait like a couple of months for Monsters University. And I've actually looked. Monsters University is coming out the same day as Pacific Rim. Over here.
Nice.
And then the next week will be The World's End. Then the next week is going to be Wolverine. Then the next week is Smurfs. Oh, who gives a crap? Then next week is Grown Ups. Oh, God, Grown Ups 2. And Lone Rangers that week. I'll watch that instead. One Direction, the movie. Directed by Morgan Spurlock. Please tell me just through the movie. He's like, go on, eat McDonald's.
Of course you're going to go see that. But that's all we've got for...
See it. I just want him to just feed him McDonald's and make him fat. No, actually, you don't do that, because then you'll have more believers. It's like a double-edged sword.
Okay. That's all we got. So,
I need Christopher Lloyd sound effect now. Great Scott!
Are you done? Ashley, are you done? I guess so. So that we're done with that segment, let's we are going to take phone calls, of course. So Ashley, if you'll give that number out, I'm going to pull up the emails right quick, see if we got anything.
Okay. So call in, if you guys can. You can call in via Skype, via Sunday Night Showdown, add that to your list, or call in to 501-588-7957. That's 501-588-7957.
So there you go. We have no emails. So as soon as we figure out what's going on here, we'll if we don't get any phone calls for the next 5 minutes, we'll probably just hang up and let it go, which I have no problem doing tonight. But I don't want to give you guys a chance to call in and say whatever's on your mind. So you do have somewhere around 5 minutes, something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Are you going to be watching season 2 of Sherlock soon?
I actually have the DVD. That's funny that you mentioned that. I cleaned up my car today to get a lot of my posters out that I've collected over the past 7 months that I haven't cleaned my car out for. And I actually found that underneath my seat, which I need to take back to work. So it's kind of funny you bring up that, and I found it today. So I'll probably end up, okay, I'll probably end up watching it after I finish season one of Supernatural, which I just started.
It's just, I don't want you to have not watched it, and then season three comes out, because I think we might talk, well, I don't know whether it comes out at the same time America and UK, like quite a lot of these other series, like Game of Thrones and Mad Men and all that are, so.
Well, let me put it like this. All my Doctor Who episodes are the British version of the show.
Okay.
I don't watch the US version. I get it from whatever, and then I watch.
Because I believe that is coming out sometime towards the end of this year, the new episodes, I think. Because it was Cumberbatch was on one of the things, and he really went intriguingly deep on some of the stuff, which may or may not be in Series 3. And I was stoked already, but now it's like, dear God, please get to the end of the year soon.
Apparently the chat is, the two people in chat that talked the most has just exploded with the fact that I started Supernatural. So, let me put it like this, I just started today. I watched my first episode probably about 9 o'clock, or I take that back, I watched it during our pre-show, which was, I think I started at 7 o'clock. There you go. 7 o'clock, and I'm on episode 3 now. So, it's good. I'm really liking it so far.
I've got a feeling L-Train is probably... kind of spoiler for those who haven't listened to Open Book, he said he was going to be at a few indie events over this weekend. So that's why he might not be here. Because he'd probably be calling in saying, where was the stuff saying Mirror's Edge 2 is going to be at Xbox? Yeah, I brought it up. Come on, it's been a month.
So nobody's called in. So we're going to kill that off so I can get ready to go to bed.
No more phone calls ever.
I don't care. We'll get some next week. Because apparently no one's really called in this week, so oh well. So let's prepare to end the show as we normally would. This was our first show back, so I'm very excited for that. Ashley, anything you want to say before we had to hit the end?
Nothing off the top of my head. Just make sure you check out all of your shows here on the network.
Well, we'd have gotten that in a second. Of course, you can check out the live shows during the week. You got Wrestling News Live, which is every Tuesday at 10:30. No, at 9. At 9 p.m. Eastern. You can check out TNA Chat Live, which is every Thursday at 10:30. Excuse me. You can check out The Open Book, which normally we would be on at 11 p.m. But next week, the 10th, we will be at 10 o'clock. I repeat, next Friday, Open Book, 10 p.m. We're going to actually do it next week at 10 p.m. again, just to see if how it works.
I tried doing a Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon meme for that, but the meme generator for some reason gave me 9 of them in the same picture.
Okay. So, you can catch, of course, Sunday Night Showdown during pay-per-view weekends, which we don't have the next episode until the 19th. What's all the podcasts they can catch, Ashley?
I think there was Running the Ropes with Crowley and Mav is possibly, well, it should be live at 4 Eastern anyway. But other podcasts, you've got Beyond the Bell, Sean Beckham, which just passed the Mighty 100. So congrats to Mr. Beckerman on that. The Elite Force podcast, you've got the Midweek with Chuck W and the Weekend with Walkie and Mind Wipe, and the Star Wars prequel one is pretty damn good. And you got the whole indie show with myself, Sandra, and Randy this week. Yes, Randy's back from his internship.
Wow.
So okay then. I don't think there's anything else I need to say. I felt like I needed to say, oh yeah, I do want to say one thing. Apparently it's brought to my attention yesterday that Lindsey Stirling, somebody we play a lot on this show, apparently got a contract with Lady Gaga's company, or publicist, was it?
Was it a manager or publicist, but yeah.
So congrats to her. She definitely deserves it. I just hope they don't try to do anything like they did with Lady Gaga. She doesn't need that. She already has a big enough fan base as is. So here's hoping she can pull in some money. Can't wait to hear about that. I think that's it. I don't have a quote. I'm not looking up a quote right now. I'm tired. I'm preparing to go to bed. So I chose this week's song of the night for a particular reason. And it's because of that little iteration I keep saying every time we start a show. The voice of the voiceless. Voices of the voiceless. Because me and Ashley, we are standing atop the mountain as the voices of the voiceless of the SNS Radio Network. Everyone else can say they are, but we're the only two. I'm claiming that right now. I'm putting my flag there.
Are we so far up we got a snowy peak on the top of our mountain? Or?
Really?
I want to know whether we're Everest or we're like K2.
We're not going to Everest, apparently, because they have fights. So we'll make our own mountain. We'll build our own mountain, okay? We're going to do it like that.
All the unsold copies of the THQ stupid tablet you draw.
It'll be all the U draws. It'll be ET from back in the day. All the alien coin of marines. All of that. We'll just climb it and plant our flag. And then all of the no, I'm not going to say that one. Never mind. I take that back. So with that, this week's song of the night is "Standing Alone" by In This Moment. I hope you guys enjoy. You guys can catch us next week at 10 p.m. right here on The Open Book. Have a good one.
We're I'm so wrong.